Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sometimes in life, we encounter people who teach us things we never knew we needed to learn, who offer a perspective that forces us to reevaluate our outlook, and who humble us with their innate wisdom and kindness. Sometimes, though, we also meet people who offer us none of these things. Ladies and gentlemen, Flats and Shanks.
You ready? I'm ready, mate. You're doing it, so crack on with it.
Let's do it. Hello, and welcome to this episode of our weekly podcast. I am Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Flatman.
I had a comment from, I can't remember, I think it was out Saturday night, and someone said, you know, why don't you do the intros? You
know, yeah, you did
Flats,
one
Flats
once.
Flats has taken over.
You did one once. I'm a completely accidental, by nature I'm a generous person, but I'm an accidental microphone hog. So it's good that you're doing that because you deserve more airtime.
A bit like Will Greenwood.
Yeah, it's one of the many things we've got in common, including our rugby pedigree.
Yeah, true. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm okay, boy. How are you?
Yeah, good.
You look well.
Thank you.
It's all right.
You look all right as well.
Thank you very much.
It's glow on you.
Went for a run yesterday, that's why.
Sorry, what was that word?
I know.
Did you really?
I went for a run, yeah.
Are you saying like a run to the bus?
About half an hour cross country.
Okay.
Police
after you, were they?
It wasn't good. I actually felt all right because I went at about 5 miles an hour for the whole thing.
You've been stealing underwear off washing lines again.
So I just...
Did you put the beats on?
I'm a purist, mate. I like to just soak it in. But I'm a fat bastard. I need to do something about it, really. I probably won't do anything about it, but I did yesterday, giving up today.
Do you prefer bike or running?
I'm on a rest day. I hate running, but a bike takes so much longer to get the same out of it. I hate both.
I'm trying to think what would look more awkward, you running or you cycling?
Cycling is bad. Matt Perry once, the old Bath fullback, was driving up the road, before he gets arrested and saw me cycling up a hill and stopped and took a video on his phone. Before smacking him in the arse.
I suppose because you've got like quite big quads and stuff, your legs, you know, probably don't go straight when you cycle or slightly in, like that. The technique is yours are probably just going out all the time.
Yeah.
So your knees are going to clip cars. And stuff.
Like I need more air resistance. Like I need any more.
Yeah.
Be more of a windbreak. I'm bad at that. I've given my bike away 3 times now and it's come back. It's come back twice. I gave it away recently. David Trick, who is the president of Bath Rugby, who's a great man, you know as well.
Yes.
His son was doing a charity bike ride, and I said, hey, use my bike, and I'm just praying it never comes back.
Is it a good one? Yes, Barnaby, if you've got it.
No, I went in and got... all the lads got their bikes, and I went in the day after and said, can I have one better than all of them?
Is that why you're getting the electric bike?
Yeah, I'm getting it. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
We're moving house, as we mentioned on pod before, and we're moving to the top of quite a steep hill outside in Bath. So
yeah, we won't name the road because you might get a few fans, but it used to be where Ireland played.
Lansdowne Road. Yeah.
Oh, you said it. Well done.
Yeah, that's all right. Come on over.
Hey, what have you been up to? You've been driving a supercar, have you, the last few days?
I can't talk about that, mate. Yeah, I have, yeah. Well, kind of. I went to this... I went to this shooting day where, you had all these supercars and supercars. And my... I mean, you're going to think I'm saying this because I'm a Land Rover ambassador. Think what you want. My since I was a little kid, the cars I've wanted more than anything else in the whole world have been a Range Rover and a 911. And I don't have a 911, but I do have a Range Rover, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. And they've brought out this really, really fast petrol supercharged one called an SVR. And I've always wanted one, and I've pestered and pestered Land Rover to let me have one. And they said, leave us alone. Who is this? Stop calling. And they finally said I can have one. So I've got one coming, and I'm super pumped. So that was my favourite car in the day. And as soon as I got there, there were McLarens, Ferraris, Porsches, Bentleys, all Aston Martins, all sorts of stuff there. And I straight away said, can I drive the Range Rover SVR, Range Rover Sport SVR? And they said, no, that's actually not one of the cars on offer today.
Okay.
Then I said, well, can I drive that Audi RS6, which... you might know this, but it's an Audi A6 estate, but it's rather more than that. It's quite a fast one.
I always remember it being in layer cake.
Yes, that's the old one, yeah. It's a new one of those.
They're driving it up, what's that golf course called?
Stoke Park. Somebody's got to get a fucking slab.
Yeah.
So it's the new version of that, and I'm a right car nerd, as you know, so he just said, mate, I'm going on holiday, have it for the week. And I've had that for a few days.
So you're on the RS6 for a few days?
Yeah. And it was truly, truly astonishing bit of kit. Amazing, amazing car.
0-60?
God, sub 4 seconds. Bear in mind, it's a big family car.
Yeah. And 70 miles an hour tops.
Tops. Yeah, I didn't break the speed limit, but I got to the speed limit quickly.
Yeah.
With minimum fuss. But amazing. But I swapped it back this morning for my Range Rover Sport, and I must say... it was 2 hours to drop it off, and normally you wouldn't do that, but I love cars, so an extra 2 hours in that car is fine for me.
Yeah.
Dropped it off with a mate this morning at EJ Churchill, and then swapped it back for mine.
Yeah.
And I must say,
go on then.
While the journey up there was snortier and crazier and a bit quicker, the journey down here was very, very quiet and nice and comfortable. So.
Yeah, you're a Land Rover man, aren't you? Do you reckon if you weren't an ambassador for him, you'd get one?
Yes.
You'd pay for one?
I would, yeah.
Okay. What would you? Would you go for the Sport?
If I had the money, I would go for the Vogue, probably.
Okay.
I love the Sport I've got at the moment, but if I was actually buying one, I'd buy one that could do everything and it's got a bigger boot.
Work a little bit harder, mate.
Yeah, I'm trying, mate. What have you been up to?
I did a little gig for Robert Walters last week.
Oh yeah.
It's quite good actually. So they basically said, "Oh, can you MC it or whatever? Can you host a Q&A with?"
MC Richard like Hill. A rapper?
Richard, yeah. 1-2 to the Raving Crew.
Yeah, listen Richard Hill, MBE, was that?
Listen for the bass injection. This way, that way, every direction. And Jiffy.
Oh, yeah.
So did that up in Birmingham. So we did a bit of like a Lions Q&A and stuff like that. And then we had to spend half hour on three stations. So there was like a foosball, there was darts, and there was table tennis. Yeah. Jiffy had trainers on, so he was obviously keen for table
tennis.
Did he? Yeah. Thought he was really good.
What, he brought trainers with him to put on for the sports?
No, I think he did. Yeah, I'm not sure. They were like trainer shoes.
Oh, okay.
That a 50-year-old would wear.
Yeah.
I bet he's 50.
Yeah.
Shainers.
Who was Shainers?
He was dominating the table tennis.
Oh, good on him. Mind you, there's nothing else to do in Swansea, is there?
Until he played me.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Because you told me you're good at all sports.
Yeah, not bad. We're only playing to 11 to make it a bit more... the games quicker.
Good game's a quick game.
Yeah. 11-4.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jiffy wouldn't have liked that much.
And he left then. He left.
Jiffy wouldn't have liked that much.
He left and I could up him. And then we had a game of darts, right? And he had two darts and he had to do a 301 with two darts. But you didn't have to finish on a double. So say you had, 16 left... You just had to get the number 16.
Yeah.
Instead of doubling.
Yeah.
So what's the maximum you can get with two darts?
120.
Got it.
Did you?
What? Yeah.
What a loser.
I know.
We're doing that tomorrow night, aren't we? Yeah, we're doing it again. You're doing it again. I'm doing it for the first time.
Yeah. So we've got that tomorrow. But I went to the BT Sports Industry Awards on Thursday. So it's at Battersea Evolution.
Let me ask you this. Is it BT Sport Industry or is it Sport Industry?
BT Sport Industry Awards, I think.
Yeah, okay. Was it good?
Really good, mate. I arrived. I was on NatWest Rugby Force's table because we were up for an award. So basically, NatWest Rugby Force is where...
Who are you sitting with that I might know?
Lewis Moody.
Oh, yeah. He's a great lad, isn't he?
Yeah. That's it.
We say that about everybody, but he is one of the loveliest men in Europe.
Just me and him on the table on our own.
Yeah, it's all
right. But I arrived, right, and I'd arrived through the VIP section.
Standard.
And met one of the ladies from Rugby Force, out west.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, do you mind doing the red carpet? I was like, you what? Right, this red carpet there, and it was all the photographers.
Yeah, I went to it last year. Yeah. No way you'd walk up there.
Yeah, so I said, look, she said, do you want to do it? I said, no, not really. It's a bit embarrassing. And she said, oh, no, can you do it? Because we can use some of those shots. And I was like, are you serious? Really?
There might not be any shots.
So I had to walk there, right? And
did you do it?
Honestly, mate, there's probably about 100 cameramen there, and women. And they didn't know my name. I think they were calling me Jeff. They're going, Jeff, over here. Jeff,
yeah, look at that bee then.
I don't know.
If anyone knows what Jeff it might be, can you email us?
They were going, relax. I was like, can you relax a bit? I said, turn this way, Jeff, last one. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, that's awful.
Luckily, I got there early. And Jess Gannis turned up, and that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
So I saw your best mate, Mark Durden-Smith.
He hosted it.
Yeah, he hosted it.
Apparently, he was brilliant.
He was really good. He was I saw him in the drinks reception. So I went over and said hello. And he was saying to me, how's flats and stuff? I was like, well, you see more than me, mate. You know, you're stealing them off me. And he said, oh, I'd have to get you up, present an award. I was like, yeah, I'd love to, mate, love to. I'll do the Lifetime Achievement Award, all right? Do a little bit of a speech about them. We're laughing and joking away. I thought nothing of it. Halfway through the night then, a couple of girls come up to the table, tap me on the back and go, Mr. Shanklin, they're ready for you backstage now? I was like, you what? He said, they're ready for you backstage to present an award.
Oh, that's what you were doing on stage. Yeah. I saw a picture.
I said, didn't Mark brief you? I said, yeah, but I thought he was taking the piss. So I've been smashing the red wine down me.
Yeah.
So I just leave the table. I don't tell anyone where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I get to backstage and Will Greenwood's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm basically filling in for Mario Toji. Who's not turned up.
Who could look less like Mario Toji than you?
We've got a lot in common, mate. We've got a lot in common. You know,
both got arms and legs.
Yeah. Incredible athletes.
Something like that, yeah. Okay.
You know.
What else? No, okay, carry on.
But, so we're there, and is it Helen Glover and Steve Backshall?
Yep.
Yeah, they're there. They're presenting an award before us. Amir Khan's behind us.
Did you chin in just for the crack?
No, yeah. His hand was in plastic cast.
Carl Frampton was there as well.
Yeah,
wasn't
Carl Frampton was with him.
One of my favourites.
So, got up there and they said, oh, we might do a Q&A with you while you're up on stage as well. Like, are you alright with that? And I was like, that. Yeah.
Apparently, you made a funny joke though, Dirt has told me.
Not really, no. So, he's asked me about New Zealand and things like that, and Will gave a really long answer, so it didn't come back to me then.
Oh.
Yeah. Dirt has said something like, I'm going to ask you both quickly, Wales, British Irish Lions chances in New Zealand. And Greenwood gave a real long answer and he said, Chanks, we've not even got time for you after that.
Oh.
So get to the mic then and Will goes, the nominees are. And then I have to pull the envelope open, don't I?
Yeah.
All that was inside me, I just wanted to say La La Land.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I didn't got a form of Tourette's. I didn't. And just before I said, look, just before I open the envelope, I just want to let you know, for those of you who don't know anything about me or never heard of me, I was fucking awesome. And the winner is the Madison Group. It was so
did it go down well?
I had a couple of laughs, couple of laughs. But, and then, you know, the rest of the night, a lot of people were calling me, there he is, awesome.
It's like a who's who, that event.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. On that night, you know, because you can always get an invite. Lots of people, different worlds. I'm not being smug. It's just different worlds you live in. You know, I would never get an invite to a movie premiere or London Fashion Week. But in sport, you can always wangle an invite.
Don't you try and steal my thunder now, boy?
No, I'm not trying to say I can get an invite. Anyway, I went last year and it's good night.
You knew it.
And this year I thought, well, I could go again. I'll go with whoever, Land Rover, whoever.
Yeah.
And then Ben Kay texted me, this is a couple of months ago, and said, Flats, same night as the sport industry, do you want to, there's a dinner I did last year, whatever, and they've asked me to put me in touch, are you okay doing this dinner? So I said, here's the address, here's the details. I said, mate, sign me up.
I'm in.
Speak at a dinner, no problem. And to be honest, I'd rather work than go to a dinner than... I'd struggle to sit and have fun if I knew there was work down the road I could be doing and that sort of stuff. So on a weeknight. So I got this address and it was in Oxfordshire and I was like, yeah, no problem, I'll go to this dinner. And he said he went last year or 2 years ago. It was a really good crack and he had a few beers afterwards and nice people. So I was like, oh, brilliant, yeah, go and do that. It sounds like fun. So the day before I'm going, I'm just getting my logistics sorted out. And I Google map the address and it's in Norwich. It was in Norwich. Took 5.5 hours to get there. And I just got the address. So I don't know why. I looked at the village name or something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, on the night you were at Sport Industry, larging it with Greenwood on stage with all the rock stars, I was Alan Partridge. I was at the Norwich Airport Holiday Inn. North Norfolk Radio. Norwich RFC. And I thought, this is what my life's become. It was actually really, really good.
Really?
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Lovely people. I forgot to mention, about a month ago, I went into orbit. Have you done that as well?
Yeah.
Oh, right, no.
Done it.
Bloody.
Anyway, so that was, slightly less glamorous. But I hosted, the night before that, I hosted the Bath Rugby Awards dinner, which was, it's not, when I say difficult, I mean, you're not tarmac in the M4 at midnight, but it's difficult when Bath haven't been going very well and they won at Twickenham in the Clash and everything was great and they lost at Worcester and they lost to Paris. And
just saying, they won on the weekend, is that down to you? Inspiring?
A little bit, perspiring. But it was a really nice night. Really, really nice. But the main event from last week has got nothing to do with rugby whatsoever, has it? Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with what we've been up to. The main event was Saturday night. Boxing.
Amazing. Where'd you watch it?
Well, since you asked, mate.
Oh no! Did you go to Wembley?
No. Oh. I got invited, but I didn't get invited. No.
To do another dinner? Did you?
I did actually. I did it as a favour. Andy Beattie, the Beast, who played for Bath for years.
He's now.
Of course you have. He's now a rugby coach at Hampton School, where he went to school in West London, and they had a fundraising dinner. Michael Liner's son goes there, and Michael was there, and whatever. And JP Doyle, the ref, was there because his wife coaches at the prep. Anyway, so I said I would go along and help out this dinner, no problem. And got up there to sort of host the Q&A and speak into the auction and stuff at 5 to 10. I knew the fight was starting at 10.
Yeah.
And it was basically, it's a school dinner, right? So it's all the parents and all the sixth form players are serving us our dinner and drinks and stuff. So I said, evening everyone, it's a pleasure to be here. Just so you know, if anybody tells me anything about the Joshua fight, anything, even hints at it or mentions it, I'll fucking kill you. I'll kill you. I don't care if we're in school. I've got a fork. I'll kill you with it.
So you couldn't go on social media either?
No. So I got out of dinner about 12.
Yeah.
I was home at 1:30 because I drove at the speed limit and not above it. And I phone. I didn't even look at my phone once the whole night. Radio off, driving complete silence. Got home and turned it on about 1:30, 2:00. Went to bed at 3 and couldn't sleep. It was just absolutely buzzing.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, amazing.
Couldn't believe it.
Just it.
In terms of the like Hay Bellew fight, it was,
oh god, different class.
Total different class.
But David Hay snapped his Achilles, which makes it a bit awkward to box, doesn't it? But
even so, the build up was better, the boxing was better.
Yeah.
You've got to give it to Klitschko, though, haven't you?
Oh, he was great, wasn't he?
41 years old.
Yeah.
Great shape as well.
Yeah. When he first started, I was thinking little legs compared to Anthony Joshua. Yeah. Anthony Joshua's got proper quadzilla, isn't he?
He's big everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And they were worried, weren't they, about all that muscle, because you have to carry that for potentially 12 rounds.
Mind you, mate, a good cut, 2 or 3 of those rounds, he was a passenger. He was dead on his feet.
Because he obviously knocked Klitschko out, didn't he, in the fifth round.
Down. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
That's what you meant.
Out of his feet.
Okay.
And then he got knocked down in the sixth, didn't he? So you're right, for 3 rounds then, he was just holding on. He didn't throw any punches. And I just had my head in my hands thinking, oh no.
Please don't lose.
What's going to happen?
Please don't lose.
But then, round 11.
Oh my days.
It's like someone just flipped the switch.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, I'm pretty sure on this, boxing is one of the only sports, if not the only sport, where you are not allowed energy drinks.
Really?
Yeah, you have to drink water.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
It's always been the case. Not allowed them.
Yeah, but I wonder why. Can someone email in and tell us, please? We haven't got to Google it.
Or maybe I've just made that up. But
it's true now,
I don't think I have.
I want to know, that shot...
That uppercut.
Or the uppercut. I mean, that was the second best punch of the fight for me. Mm. The best punch was the right hand that put Joshua down. What a shot. And how do you get up from that, hang in there and win? You know, it's like, do all the technique you want. And I'm not an expert, but I love a bit of boxing. And Klitschko looked to have two or three times the technique and ring craft of Joshua, but just an absolute, just force of will, wasn't it?
Doesn't have beast power like Joshua, though, does
no.
he?
No, but that shot, if he lands clean, I mean, those heavyweights, they'll knock your teeth out if they hit you clean, but then Joshua to take that, stand up and win, just can't believe it.
When I was speaking to Joshua after,
yeah,
he was so humble as well.
Was he? Yeah.
Yeah, well, when I say speak, I listened to him on the TV.
Yeah.
incredible though, wasn't it? It was
yeah.
from start to finish. It was like something you see in the movies and everything.
Yeah. Some people have said that on the media, and you might have seen it or you might not, that his win was the way he took that punch was a lot to do with the neck workout I told him about at a Jaguar dinner about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said that. And he sent me a DM on Twitter and said, "Never forget you, bro," and all that stuff. And I was just like, not going to reply because it's a bit too keen.
Do you think that win by Joshua highlights how good a win it was by Tyson Fury as well, or not?
I would say yes, but then I would, just from what I've seen, I'm not trying to be an expert, it's just a punter's view, I would say that was a different Klitschko. Klitschko looked to be on his way out the last couple of years, and this was very, very different.
He seems quite a hard person to fight against, Tyson Fury, doesn't he? Because he doesn't seem that orthodox in what he does.
Yeah, he does. And as much as I would love to one day wake up and it was Joshua against Fury in a few months' time, I'd love that. But actually, the whole build-up to it, the thought of it makes me feel so sick. The thought of having to listen to that absolute piece, Tyson Fury, talking about... And he's a good guy again now. He's a good guy, by the way, again now.
All right.
But next week he'll be abusing people or whatever it is, and the sort of having to look at and listen to him in the build up is just reviles me, so I'd rather he didn't get the fight, to be honest.
Yeah, it'd be good viewing though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd definitely watch it. I'd pay 20 quid.
Have you seen the Anthony Joshua road to Klitschko?
Klitschko. Yeah. Yeah. The one on Sky Sports?
No, the one on BBC.
Yeah, I think I did watch it the other night. Remind me, because the gloves are off. That was Sky.
I haven't seen it.
I watched it, and it was brilliant. I'll tell you what I watched. I watched where the two comedians, Rob Beckett and what's his name, Ravish Ranesh, super funny Asian guy.
Yeah,
super funny.
They jump in the ring together, don't they?
Yeah, but they have like an hour with him.
Okay,
it's brilliant, mate. It's really worth watching.
What was the first guy, Rob?
Rob Beckett, the big teeth. Yeah. Big teeth, and then the Asian guy, Ramesh.
Yeah, I know.
Right, something like that, but he's real funny.
Yeah, I've seen him on 8 out of 10 Cats Do Countdown, something like that.
Yeah.
Got it on the end.
Yeah, there you go. That's really worth watching on iPlayer, that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Really, really good.
Yeah. Right, so Leo Vegas, bet of the week.
Yeah.
We've been doing all right, mate. We have been doing all right.
Gone all right, haven't we?
Yeah.
When we've listened to you.
You want to get on leovegas.com on the website. You'll see our unique bet that's put up there.
Yeah.
Make sure you follow Leo Vegas on Twitter. It's at Leo Vegas UK.
Yeah.
I've got lots of offers going on there. You got to make sure you're how old?
18.
That's correct, mate.
Terms
and conditions do apply.
Of course they do. And if you haven't got it, don't gamble it. That's what we always say, isn't it, Tom?
Not at all, yeah.
Always say that. Right, let's gamble.
Right, so we're going to bet on an Aviva Premiership game this week. We bet on the Ospreys Ulster last week. I think we said Ospreys by 3 points or more, and they did do it. They beat Ulster.
So children in need are winners.
Children in need are winners. Now, we're going to bet on Northampton Harlequins.
Now, what do you say? What do you say?
Harlequins are sixth. Northampton is seventh. The top six go through to the Champions Cup, which is a top flight European rugby competition.
Glory.
Below that, you go into the Challenge Cup. Less funding, less coverage.
Yeah.
So
less people coming to watch.
It's at Franklin's Gardens.
Fewer people, sorry, not less.
It's at Franklin's Gardens, 4 o'clock, as are all games.
Yeah.
That weekend.
I wish they'd been at three. It's going to be a late night, that one. Anyway,
so I'm going to say Harlequins.
So am I.
I'm not.
You're not?
I don't know.
I'm going Quins. You overrule me with Claremont anyway.
Okay.
So can you let me overrule you for once? I say Quins win by 3 points.
It's going to be
points.
A close one, isn't it?
I say Quins by 3 or more.
Okay, so that's fine. We go Harlequins by 3 points or more, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right, there we are.
How about that? Good luck, everyone.
Get involved. Right, mate. Rugby action of the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, what game were you at on Sunday? You were at Bath, weren't you?
I was at Bath Gloucester. My first visit to Bath this season with ITV. They're gits, you know. Like, they decide where we go every week. And I think because I live 8 miles from the Rec, they never send me there and think it's hilarious. So we finally went.
They are gits, because they also make you wear really red trousers.
Did you like them?
I liked them for comedy value. Is that why you wore them, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good. Yeah. Fine. Because
like
normally they only get used around Christmas time.
Oh, by the way, on that...
Christmas trousers.
Durders, Marky Dirty Poo Poo, popped round to my house to take with him in the back of his massive car a scarifier to attach to the back of his ride-on lawnmower, right?
Sorry, what is a scarifier?
It basically removes all the thatch and dead grass from your lawn as you drive around.
I know this, but...
Okay, yeah. So he borrowed my... We've actually taken my scarifier. It's a gift because I'm a great guy. Okay. And...
Did he take any lamb breast as well?
When he walked in today... No lamb breast. I had that. When he walked in, we walked in together and my wife said, oh, did you wear that today? I said, yeah, obviously, that's why I'm wearing it now. I didn't get changed for the trip home from Bath.
Yeah.
And she said, I like the red chinos, but that jumper makes you look really fat. So Durda's said, actually, one of your friends actually the other day, Flats, we were talking about how fat you are and how much you eat. And he said he was actually a bit worried about you. And I said, who was that? He said, I can't remember, but one of them said he's a bit worried that you're actually taking it too far. And I wondered if that was you at the sport industry when you saw him.
No, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't go up and say, I did this. Flats is fine, isn't he? Jeez. He's gone, isn't he?
But be honest,
Two years maximum.
Do you think I look really unhealthy?
No, but when I see you, you often wear really dark colours or stripes. So
yeah,
I can never tell.
Do you want me to take my clothes off now and you can tell me what you think?
You don't look unhealthy, mate. You look cuddly.
Just a big unit, mate. Just a big unit, mate. That's all it is.
Does your mum still love you?
Think so.
Do you love me still?
Yes, God, yeah. Yeah. Do you know her favourites? You, George Shooter, and Lee Best.
Okay.
Lee Best, the old Bath fullback. I'll tell you why, right? Ferrari. Bestie calls himself the Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah.
And he calls himself the Ferrari because he says it's because when he was fully operational, he used to carve it up, mate. I thought he used to brake an awful lot, just like an Italian supercar. That's what he used to, that's how he talks. You know him, that's how he talks. And that's actually not why he's called Ferrari. He's called Ferrari because he was at Bristol and he was on a decent contract at Bristol and he got like a slightly better contract at Bristol.
Yeah.
And the first thing he did was go and test drive a Ferrari, a 355 Spider, which you would know, you know, bright red Ferrari, red convertible Ferrari. And the bloke who test drove it with him knew some of the Bristol lads and said, mate, you wouldn't believe it. We got this Ferrari out, this supercar, and all best he did was laps of Clifton Village. We're all in Bristol. Like, do you want to go up the motorway? Nah, I'm all right, bro. To be fair, mate, I would not be taking this on a motorway, mate. I don't put any miles on it. I just want to show the lads how to pull birds with it. Anyway, he's just... So Ferrari is an amazing human being. He also, when he was at Bath... Bear in mind, he would have, you know, wouldn't have been on an epic contract, would have been fine, similar to me. Like fine, you know, not crazy money.
Yeah.
And he had a BMW M3 convertible, number plate Lee Best, like in italic, bold italics. And he had a Porsche Boxster convertible at the same time. Like, we're like, oh my God, who is this guy? I knew him from school, so all the boys were like, who is this dick? And I was like, trust me, boys, 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, you will love him and everyone just adores him, right? And just hilarious guy. But his cars both broke. He sold the Porsche and the BMW broke down. So he borrowed Brendan Daniel. Remember Brendan Daniel, the winger?
Yeah, yeah.
He borrowed this little red Metro that we were called Brendan Daniel Buzzy. So Buzzy used to call it Metro Love. And he used to sing songs about it on his guitar and all sorts of Metro Love, you know, really, really good.
Yeah.
And then I was like, bestie, how's Metro Love treating you, mate? He's like, bro, do you know what, mate? I'm riding through town and I'm just noticing people not noticing me. Can't be doing with it. And he was talking about, instead of having this car for another week, this free car, he was talking about hiring a Ferrari for a week, renting it. He's like, bro, I can't deal with it, bro.
Did he go to Worcester?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That's right. Because I remember him and Ryan Powell, scrum half.
Yeah.
We used to call Peanut.
Yeah.
The Blues. And then Worcester ended up calling him Piggy.
Yeah.
And they were having it, they were always like at each other all the time. And I remember someone told me that. They were having a big argument on the back of the bus. And Pino just went to him, Bestie, how many caps you got?
Oh, no.
Pino's got like 3 caps. did Bestie get a cap?
No, he didn't.
No.
He was close. He played A's. Yeah. He was honestly...
How many caps you got?
Do you know when you say someone is an amazing player, you say everyone's an amazing player.
He was big, wasn't he?
Lee Best, was when he was fully fit, was an amazing player. Like in our Bath team before he got did his knee... He was our best player. He was amazing. Really, really good. And he hurt his knee really badly and whatever. But anyway, the reason my parents love Bestie is that he's just the most openly affectionate, lovely man in the world. And my little brother... So I've known Bestie since we were kids. We played at schoolboys and stuff. And he was always the prima donna, always really annoying, really rated himself. But then my parents brought my brother, who's, as you know, has Down syndrome and cerebral palsy. He's in a wheelchair. Brought him to a game. And Bestie just like, he walked straight over to my brother. He's like, hey, bro, what's your name? My brother didn't really know his name at that point, he was just gorgeous to him. And my, you know, this is, it's kind of stereotypical, but it's true. A lot of people with Down syndrome, who have Down syndrome, are really strong and really affectionate. So my brother wants to hug you, like squeeze your head off. And I used to try and make him my mate. I probably did it to you once. Go on, give him a kiss. He's like, no, I don't want to kiss him. He's got muesli around his mouth. Like, go on, Shanks. Give him a kiss. Why won't you kiss him? Sort of thing. And people get so awkward. Like, kiss him, Shanks. And my parents are there like, oh, I just want to kiss Shanks. You know, it's like so awkward. Bestie would be steaming in, kiss him, cuddle him, loved him. And then one night, I came back from my long Achilles injury I had. My first second team game back. And my parents came to watch it at the rec and everything. And I rolled my ankle and snapped the ATF or the ligament in my ankle.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd broken my ankle. We hear a big crack. And I was just absolutely devastated. And Bestie was at home. And he hadn't come to watch the second team. And, good lad. And one of the guys had texted him, oh, my God, Bestie, Flats has come back after 20 months out and he's done his ankle. So Bestie was on the sofa. He got in his car, drove to the rec. So this is like half time. He burst into the physio room. And I was on the physio, like, just broken. Like, I think I was crying at that point. I thought my career was over and everything. And Bestie, like, he was in his pyjamas. He'd come straight from the sofa. He walked in and just hugged me and gave me this massive kiss, like, on the cheek. Wouldn't let go of me. And he's like, right, got someone else. And my parents have been outside. And the change rooms at the rec are up a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad had my little brother in his wheelchair at the bottom of the stairs, just waiting to find out what had gone on. And Bestie was like, no way, fuck that. Excuse my language, FC, F word. Fuck that, I'm not having that. And he went out and got my brother in his wheelchair, wheeled him up the stairs and brought mum, dad and my brother into the change rooms at half time. All the boys are in there, like ready for the second half. He wheels them through and like, you know, my brother was really upset and Bestie was holding his hand. Just like, amazing bloke. I don't know how he got onto that, but just amazing bloke. But you're one of their favourites too, mate.
You're welling up there, mate. I can't look in the eyes now.
I love him.
Just gonna start crying. I wonder what to do myself. We actually do have to be careful what we say on here because my mum tells me most weeks that she's been listening to it.
We have got to be careful.
Anyway, rugby talk.
Yeah.
Quinn's Wasps. Do you watch it?
32, yes, I did. Yes, I did watch 30. It. Yeah, and Nick Evans.
I think we all thought Wasps were gonna. Beat Quinn's, top of the
absolutely thought
top
that,
of
and
the
then
league
when,
as well.
When Dan Robson went over at the start, quite early on, I thought, game over here.
Yeah, and they had a good team as well. Wasps, you know, they had Beale, they had Willie LaRue.
That's why.
He dropped another one. He dropped another sitter, another box kick. Just took his eyes off it. He hasn't been the signing like Beale has.
Have a word with him, will you?
No, I might do.
Text him or something.
You've got to stand sideways, mate, because you do.
Of course you have.
It.
That's obvious.
The ball bounces backwards.
Catch the ball with your eyes. Carefully place it in your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like shooting a gun.
Exactly like shoot. Is it?
Yeah. You know that's the movement of holding a rifle in your hand. Yeah. That's how you want to catch it to the side.
But do you know what, mate? I do think Wasps are a different team with Cipriani at 10. I really do.
Really?
I thought Gopworth was really good actually at times. Yeah. He made a couple of lovely breaks. One lovely break. But I just think Sips just terrifies defences, and it's so hard to defend really well against Wasp when Sips is playing because he's so scary.
Do you think Harlequins were a little bit more emotional because it was Nick Evans' last home game for Quinn?
They looked
at 9 years.
Yeah, they looked it.
He looked good as well.
He looked great, and he rightly got man of the match, 22 points.
He was one of the, if not the fastest player in the All Blacks team when he was playing, you know, 10 years ago, whatever. He's still got a bit of pace in him now, mind.
I thought Joe Marchant looked good, mate.
Really good.
Really
He's been
good.
Bubbling away nicely, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He looks a little bit like Jonathan Joseph, you know, his movement.
Are you saying that because they're both black, Tom? No, I did that on a highlights. We did this highlights clip, right? Or ITV or BT Sport, I can't remember. And I was like, it's a pre-record. I was like, he looks just like Jonathan Joseph. They're like, whoa, can't say that. What are you talking about? He looks just like him. Like, it just so happens they physically look alike, but the way he moves, the way he plays,
yes,
just like him.
It is. You know, the quick feet, the sidestep, the outside break, the fend.
Yeah.
You know, they do look very, very similar.
He's a lovely player. Lovely, lovely player.
Yeah, he is. Scored one, nearly scored another.
Yeah.
I think that's when Launchbury got the other card. But, right, I had a tweet in from Harrison Mead on Twitter. Should Quinn's stick or twist with John Kingston?
So normally we would have opinion from the inside. So you'd have the lads say, oh, do you know what? He's actually not very good, or he's brilliant, or whatever.
Yeah.
I've not heard anything negative about John Kingston.
No, I watched an interview with Nick Mullins.
I love that interview with Nick Mullins. Yeah. I loved it. And it could have gone on. That's one of the things with TV is you can never get as much out of it. I wish they could just do a 30 or 40 minute show just on that interview. It was so open and nice. And I look at that and I think, God, I'd never sack him. If they lost every game, I'd struggle to sack him. I just think, and I know him a limited amount because you see him social every now and again, these guys, but we interview them, we see them pitch side, we engage with them on a sort of a weekly or fortnightly basis.
Yeah.
And you can pretty quickly tell who the good guys are, but also who the popular guys are amongst the squad, and that is important. You haven't got to be everyone's best mate, but it is important, and he's one of those guys that people seem to love. So for me, the answer is unequivocally stick. That's what I say.
Yeah. Gavin Taylor on Twitter has said, given the Nick Evans retirement, who is the best Premiership import that you can remember?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this since 1989. No, recently since Nick Evans said he was stopping. I don't think... I always thought one of the best foreign imports to these lands was Xavier Rush. I know it's not Premiership.
Yeah.
I always thought he was just spectacular for you guys. But maybe I only watched the big games. Like,
no, he was. Tia Tia is also really good for the Ospreys.
Just Philo Tia Tia, terrifying.
But in terms of culture as well.
Yeah.
That winning mentality, bringing that culture. You know,
yeah.
There was a real nice picture of Nick Williams after the Blues game at the weekend sweeping up the changing rooms.
Oh, it's nice.
You know, that's what the All Blacks do, you know, when they go away, they help carry the luggage off the, you know, the bus to the airport to check it in. You know, they stay at the end, they make sure the change rooms are all swept clean.
Yeah.
Ben Blair was another one, another great
really nice player. Yeah, played against him in 21s. He was
in the Premiership.
Nick Evans, I don't... Is there a better import than him?
Of recent times.
I mean, Kobus Visagie had a massive impact at Sarries. Massive. They could have barely win without him, but not over
Scott Britz.
That's. I think he's the one, really, because they've just won more.
Yeah.
And I think that Nick Evans was one of the best fly halves in the world and is still top of the range. He's still classy. Scott Britz has almost defied the ageing process. I think he's 36 now, and I would argue he has been a more revolutionary signing than Nick Evans even. So I'm going to say Scott Britz, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And look at what they've won, you know. Okay, they spend more dough on their players, I expect, but still, really hard. One of those two. How about that?
Yeah.
It's funny, you mentioned the were Quins, did you think more up for it because it was Nick Evans' last home game? Most probably. And someone's actually emailed in, Will Owen, if that's a Will Owen I know, hi Will, if it's not, up yours, yeah? Has emailed in, does every game you play at a level feel slightly less intense? At school and university, I remember we'd be super pumped for the big games, but the weekly games we knew we were going to win against average an opposition, you wouldn't take us seriously. Is it the same in professional rugby, or are the props still smashing their heads against the wall before you play against Zebra?
It might be different for props, because it's a bit more confrontational, it's a bit more me versus you, I think, when it comes down to scrummaging. But I would say so. You know the big games are coming up at the weekend because you start to feel the pressure a little bit more and you start to think about the games a little bit more in the week because you know what task is ahead of you at the weekend. I would say for the games where you play an easier opposition, you don't tend to think about it too much. You don't work yourself up too much. You're aware of the level that's facing you at the weekend, so you can relax a little bit more, I'd say. You know, for me personally, everyone's different, obviously, but you were well aware on a Monday when you're in training, when you get home, if it was a big game or not.
Yeah.
You know, by how you're feeling. It's constantly in your head, isn't it? And then come Thursday, Friday, you're trying to do stuff to switch yourself off whilst, the smaller games, you're not really. You're
just chilled.
You're far more chilled. You don't think about it too much. You go out there, you know it's not going to be as difficult as a test match or as, playing some of the top teams in your league.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to see what it's like for a forward and a scrummager.
Yeah, very different. I mean, people used to talk about derbies and rivalries, and it's not they didn't mean anything to me, they did, but they weren't what occupied my mind. I just had a vision of who I was scrummaging against all week, and if it was someone I knew to be a reasonably easy proposition or not too tough, then I felt altogether more relaxed. But if I was going against a big dog or someone I found really awkward, because scrummaging is a lot like Conkers, you could have Visagie one week tears me a new one, and the next week Dave Hilton at Bristol gave Visagie a bit of a stuffing, and I was like, wow, Dave Hilton's twice as good as me. And a week later, I played tight head against Dave Hilton and found it all right. And
do you coat yourself in vinegar as well?
A little bit. Yeah. Hard bait yourself. So everyone has a nemesis, but if you're playing against one of the big boys, that is all, as a prop, that is all I thought about. And I used to get into a game and suddenly think, oh my God, there's other stuff I've got to do, which is probably evident in the way I played, seriously. I mean, I just wasn't. Some guys, just scrummaging is just part of what they do. But for me, it was everything. And if the first couple of scrums went all right, I was way more likely to play better.
If you're playing against the best teams, right, you've got to be constantly thinking in a game, where the space is, how you can break them down, thinking an attack, what's coming your way. Everyone's an option, whilst some of the teams which aren't so good, not naming any.
I didn't think like that, mate.
You knew, you didn't really have to overthink stuff. It'd be a little bit more natural. So
I just thought, don't cock it up, don't mess it up. Try and avoid the ball a lot of the time because I was crap at it, and just try and every chance I get, try and bash somebody. So whether that's a cheap shot or a legit shot or whatever, because I thought that's pretty much all I can add.
Yeah.
But that's fine. And I was more limited than like a Gethin Jenkins who could actually help shape a game. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Run. Move.
Exeter, Northampton.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, there's a question here, a real good question on Twitter from JP Swain, right? He said, Exeter seemed to generate quick ball at will without many guys in the breakdown. Is that all about time and confidence?
I think it's a lot. It's not all about that, but a lot of it seems to me to be about conditioning, physical conditioning, so fitness. Because quick ball means you're hitting rucks quicker than the opposition and harder than the opposition.
Yeah.
So you can hit it as hard as you want. If you're a second behind defenders, it doesn't matter how hard you're hitting it, you're going to lose ball. Yeah. So they're quick. They do it quick and aggressively. So repeated power. So that's a lot of that's to do with conditioning. It also must be the way they train. Has to be the way they train.
Do you know my thoughts?
Yes, please.
To create quick ball, right, you need to... The ball can't get tied up in contact, can it? Mm. You know, if you get held up at the line. So, for me, it's their angles of running, and it's the amount of arm tackles that that they run at. You know, they run at arms, they don't run at bodies, because if you run at bodies, there's more chance of the ball getting loose. They create a lot, you know, so there's a lot of dummy runners, which means players, they don't get targeted too much in attacks. So there's not enough big hits going in, because... You know, to make a big hit, you need to know that it needs to be a little bit predictable.
Yeah.
And they're not predictable in attack. So when Exeter do take it into contact, it's mostly arm tackles they go in. So arm tackles, you're going straight to the ground, or you're able to offload.
Mm.
When the ball goes straight to the ground, they're able to get over it quicker. They're able to get the ball away quicker.
Mm.
They play with such tempo as well. Massively physical conditioning plays a part of that, because you look at the scrum half. You know, he has to get to every single ruck.
Brutal.
And they hit a lot of rucks, and they go wide to wide. But their style of play, it reminds me a little bit of how Bath used to play, you know, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that type of play, you know, that type of ball player puts it behind another forward to your 10.
Yeah.
And you do that, and that goes along the line 2 or 3 times.
Stretching defenders all the time.
Mm. Yeah. There's always something going on. Very rarely do you see like a 10, 12 hit up in loose play. There's always some sort of movement. And with that movement, you know, defenders are dragged out of position, and when they do have to make a tackle, it's around the legs, it's half tackles, it's offload time or quick ball time.
Watching that game, I remember the comment I made on the highlights was that Jack Knoll, for me, has taken over the mantle from Chris Ashton as the highest work rate winger in the Premiership. He was just a class above everyone else in the field, I thought. He looked fantastic. I have got a stat, and it's backed up by something I saw on Twitter about 3 minutes before we started this podcast, coincidentally. Jack Knoll, an Optostat, Jack Knoll made 28 carries at the weekend, which is the most by a back in this season, in the whole Premiership season.
You just made that up because you're not reading it from anywhere.
No, I remember it.
Okay.
28 carries, which is astonishing, and a lot of them were really good ones. And that's the second most carries by... He's a winger, remember? Second most carries by any player in any game this season. It's only second by two.
Wow.
You know, so that's pretty amazing for a winger. And guess who has carried more in one game than anyone else? With 30 carries.
Number 8?
Yes.
Is it the Exeter number 8?
Yes.
Thomas Waldron?
Yes.
Wow.
Well done, you. You didn't know that.
No. But I know he carries a lot.
If you didn't know that was the truth, though.
No.
It is the truth.
Sure?
Well done. Yeah, I am, I'm genuine. But I thought he was... You know, I said as well on highlights, like, guys like Ollie Woodburn is just in such good form. I don't get this whole England squad. I just don't get the whole composition of it. How are guys like that not going? I think it's weird.
Stenson's good at 10 as well, mine, isn't he?
And Steenson. But you like calling him Stenson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's class.
I know.
I think they look better with him at 10.
They do.
I really do, yeah. And they want to promote Slade there.
He's on a benefit year as well, isn't he? They're having a... They're trying to organise a game.
Oh, I think I'm playing in it.
Are you?
Oh, God, yeah.
I saw it advertised at the Exeter game.
Was it? Who's it against then? Who are we playing against?
I don't know. I'm not playing, mate. Don't look at me.
Loads of boys are playing.
Yeah, I know.
Ollie Barkley's playing.
Yeah.
Little Lee Mears, Fabrice Muamba, who had the heart issue. He's playing. Loads of boys. Alex Popham, I think Pops is playing. Gary Powell, I think, might come and play.
Gary Powell's still playing.
Yeah, I know he plays for Merthyr, doesn't he?
Yeah, he got in a bit of trouble at the weekend because the Blues had a bit of a reunion.
Oh, I saw that.
The Blues had a bit of a reunion at the Zebra game, and the camera panned to a few of them in a box on a beer. And I think he told his missus that he wasn't drinking for a start. And he also had a game the next day.
Ah, Powell.
For Merthyr. But
I love Powell.
He scored 2 tries.
Mate, we played together against each other in 97 for England schools against Wales schools. We did.
He's one of the best at Lomu Rugby, the original game.
Oh, was he?
The PlayStation, yeah. We went to university together in Brunel. And he used to drive me around in his MR...
MR2, he had. MR2, yeah. White MR2.
Rear-wheel drive. He rung me up once saying that he was John Bevan from the WRU, the ex-winger. And
yeah.
I'd been selected to play Wales under-21s. And I believed him. No, Wales 19s it was. It was Wales 19s and I believed him.
Howly.
And then...
We had an all-dayer once in Richmond. And I was with Powley, and he's like, "Oh, Flats, boy." I was like, "You're around, Powley." He goes, "Flats, do me a favour, boy. Over there, like, it's a Kodak shop in the days when you took your cameras to Kodak, your disposable camera. Go and pick up my photos, will you, mate? It's a 10 or whatever it is. Go and pick up my photos. I'll get the round, because the queue was really deep. So I'll start this. Can you go and get my photos? Because otherwise I'll forget." And I went over there, and they're like, "Mr. Powell's photos." Like, yeah, like, "Could you, like, step this way, sir?" And it stitched me up. Oh, and he was by the door of the pub looking over. And he'd just taken a load of, like, dirty pictures of himself just so he could stitch somebody up. So, like, pictures of everything. Like, you know, you would never do it. Powley didn't care. And he just sent me, you know, and I looked out the window and he's just pissing himself at the door of his pub. You know, I thought I was going to get nicked.
Yeah.
But Exeter were fab, and it's their seventh bonus point in a row.
It's obviously key for them as well, because they want to have a home semi-final.
Yeah.
And the playoffs.
It's nice to have a semi at home, isn't it?
Always say that.
You've always said it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that therefore the Wasps Saracens game is going to be fascinating at the weekend, because I've said from the start I don't think home and away matters to Sarries. I really don't. So if Exeter come in second and Sarries third as it lies, I fear for Exeter. As much as I love them, I fear for them with Sarries going down there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bath 44, Gloucester 20.
Yeah.
Just cut loose second half, mate.
Yeah, just a bad day for Gloucester.
How good was Fotolini?
Yeah.
Everything came off.
He's amazing, isn't he?
He needed a big game.
Yeah.
But so good around bringing players on, holding the ball up, looking for gaps around the guard ruck area. A little kick he did for Falatau's first.
But Falatau's whole game, he was so good.
I know.
Do you know what? I've always kind of wondered, is he as good as everyone says? Because Billy Vunipola is so obviously good when he's good.
Yeah.
Falatau, a little bit like, I know he's under the radar, but no, I'm not quite sure he's in Billy's league. He is certainly in Billy's league. He was absolutely fantastic at the weekend. And Zach Mercer, the young number 8 at Bath, who stormed onto the scene this season.
Yeah.
You wonder, how can someone that talented not be playing? And then you watch Falatau and you think, yep, fair enough. He's the boss.
It's got a great trial off set piece as well for line out Clark, hit an unbelievable line.
Oh yeah,
for a try.
He played well, didn't he?
Finish that off. Yeah, not heard too much about him.
No,
through the season. Alec Brew still going strong.
Really good, and it just goes to show, you know. So he was kind of languishing in lower divisions.
He caught the ball off the kickoff.
Really good
for Falatau's try.
The loads of stuff he did was good, and he seemed to be really motivated. And he's a big, powerful unit. And when those guys are motivated, that, you know, they can cause damage, and I thought he was really good again. He's been good all season for Bath when he's been fit.
There's loads of tweets in about the back row now after that performance.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Falatau. So Effian Roberts on Twitter says Lions back row, Moriarty, Warburton and Falatau with Stander and Vunipola taking the finishers' places. Thoughts?
No, I don't think so.
Full on back row. Chris Simmons on Twitter, what are your thoughts and suggestions that Toby Falatau may play 6 for the Lions to accommodate Billy V at 8?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. I think that will come down primarily to the lineup. So is Falatau a really good option in the lineup? I mean, we talk about Stander. Is Stander a great option? Then maybe not, but Warburton can go in a lineup.
Yeah.
Falatau will go up easier than Stander, I would say, on body type.
Well, you also got Peter Romani, who's brilliant.
But he was largely anonymous for Munster 2 weekends ago. So
and obviously Robin Whitefield as well, who starts number 8 for Lions in the first test. Falatau will be
Billy Vunipola starts. If they're both on form, I actually think Falatau at 6, Warburton at 7, Vunipola at 8 is a real possibility. I think I quite like the idea of that.
Bath watering. But Bath still in hunt for the playoffs, aren't they? So
yeah, I think it seemed unlikely, but they were fab at the weekend. Yeah. Gloucester just had one of those days, and Bath had one of those days, and it's tough to deal with when you're Gloucester.
But you know they're still in the Champions Cup next year, which is the main thing as well.
Yep.
So that's good. Did you see Saracens, Bristol, right? Saracens,
yeah.
27, Bristol, 9.
Yeah.
The best thing for me was Kelly Brown's send-off.
Yeah. Maybe. Singing.
Yeah.
Cool, eh?
He can sing as well.
Really good.
Yeah. And really, really he can sing, and you know, he's got a stammer when he speaks. So,
yeah.
But obviously when you sing, you lose that stammer.
Is that normal? Like, is that everyone has a stammer? I don't know.
Does everyone have a stammer?
Does everyone who has a stammer stop stammering when they sing?
I'm not sure.
No. He's got a great
Garth
voice.
Gates.
Oh yeah, he had a stammer, didn't he?
He did, but maybe it doesn't apply to everyone. But yeah, he has got an amazing voice.
Jimmy Somerville?
I wish.
No, I'm just calling you Jimmy Somerville.
I wish he finished it though, mate. He just sort of cut it off, didn't he?
Well, should we have a word with him?
Yeah.
Text him.
I mean, yeah.
That was lovely, that.
It was.
Really nice touch.
Yeah.
I might start crying in a minute. Now, we had an email in from Giles Barling, and...
Sounds really posh.
Yeah, I know. Long story short, he watched Gloucester, because we were talking about Gloucester, you know, just now, and they were, defensively, they were just magnificent in La Rochelle. They were just on a different level, and then at Bath, that dropped off. But he noticed... Giles Barling says he noticed a difference in conditioning between the respective front fives, and basically why do French teams seemingly take such a looser policy on conditioning to Premiership teams?
Can I go first,
please?
Because you'll have way more idea than this, but to me, it looks like primarily in France they just want a front five that can scrummage rather than get around the park.
Yeah.
So they want front five that can basically hold up a scrum. They're not too bothered about how fast, and they can move around the park with their options or not. Is that...
I just think there's a refusal to move on, and it's like, we know what we know, we're stubborn, we know best, but you don't know best. You know, a big fatty is just very rarely as productive as someone in decent nick. I mean,
there's not many big fatties around the place anymore, is there?
In France there are, mate. There's loads, especially in the front fives. There's loads of fatties.
International rugby, I was born.
No, there aren't in international rugby, but you look at the La Rochelle, the two props, I think it was Pello and Antonio, the French international, and, you know, they're not the best props, but they're there, presumably, to be big and strong, but they are fat, they're properly fat.
Yeah.
I mean, they are carrying stones of extra weight. I mean, I carried a bit, geez, a lot of props do, not everyone's like Max Lahiff, but, you know, these guys just cannot possibly be as productive as if they were in decent shape, and they ain't.
If you and Butterbean, you know, the boxer, had a slug vest, who would blow up first? It's Johnny Utah Williams.
I wouldn't get a chance to blow up because he'd knock me out. If he caught me once, it'd be game over. If you have ever been punched by an actual boxer...
You've been punched by a gypsy, mate.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, that night in Fulham?
No.
Different night.
What?
Good night,
mate. No, in a fair in Guildford before.
Have you?
Yeah.
You're allowed, you can call them gypsies, yeah. Yeah, but they were always, yeah, they used to be one, the fun fair in Maidstone when I grew up, there were gypsies there.
Spinning the waltzes they were, and just coming, I was just...
Why did he punch you?
Well, I don't know, someone was looking for a fight, and I just, like, started weights and stuff when I was, like, 15. I said, go on, I'll fight you. I thought it was really strong, and he ruined my classic leathers, my Reeboks.
Did he?
On, yeah, blood all over him.
Mother...
Yeah, I started dancing around, and then, poof, straight on the conk.
Oh no.
Yeah. Let me go then. Shook my hand. Cheers, mate. As I was walking away with blood all over my face, he was like high fiving his mates. They carried him off like Goodwill Hunting.
Jeez.
I know.
Is that what made you the man you are today? terrified of gypsies.
I've never quite recovered, mate.
Circus folk, eh? Right, here's a question from Christos Preston. Christos. He says, I was always destined to work in a family Turkish restaurant.
Okay.
What would you be doing if you weren't pro rugby players? Well, we're not, but we used to be. What would you have done?
Question four. I don't know. I'd probably be in the army, or a fireman, or a PE teacher. Take a pick.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Always fancied working around summers. Just on the till.
Just on returns.
Just on the till, mate.
Just hope.
Put the merchandise through. Beep. Just having a look at them. All right. One of them, is it?
Yeah, they might wear a bit thin after 40 years in there.
Never, mate. It never would.
Yeah.
Move around a bit. I'd go on, like, on security.
Yeah.
Stock room.
Yeah.
I don't know. They'd find a place in that organisation.
Of course they would. Yeah. You go down a treat there. Yeah. Excuse the pun.
What would you do?
I don't know.
Come work for me.
Come work for you. Yeah. Assistant to the regional manager of security. Yeah.
Chief tester.
I probably would have ended up in the city, I expect. You know, building relationships for a bank.
Okay. Yeah.
And not actually doing any work and looking even less healthy than I do now.
So you studied like economics and
don't need to, mate.
Okay, no, all right. No. You just read a book, did you?
I would have been I was going to go to Durham Uni. I was registered up there, and I would have gone and read English literature up there. And then it doesn't really matter what degree you've got. If you're a rugby lad, you can get into the city pretty much.
If
you've got
a degree, play rugby.
No, but I would have played rugby for university. I wouldn't have been a pro.
Okay.
I would have gone from university probably into the city. I would have thought. But I'd rather. I'm glad I didn't. I wouldn't want to do that really. I think it's one of those worlds where lots of people enjoy it, but for me it probably would have been stacking money and not a lot else. And everyone likes money. I don't base my life around that, to be honest.
Can I change my job now then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on then, what would you have been if you weren't?
Worked in the city, mate, building relationships with banks.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Just would have
It's what the lads do, mate. It's what lads go and do.
Just would have graduated with any degree. Just gone in there.
It's what the lads go and do.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we'd have done. Hugh Lewis on Twitter says...
Huey Lewis? And then
Who would you rather, right? Fight Anthony Joshua or complete the Tour de France? It's a good one, that, isn't it?
Oh, that's a really good one. I'd rather fight Anthony Joshua.
Mm.
30 seconds, 3 weeks. I'd rather fight Anthony Joshua.
Really?
Take a dive, yeah.
Got a question here. Yeah, I'd probably do the Tour de France.
Would you?
Good fat loss, isn't it?
No, I did 1,000 miles in 9 days. Didn't lose a pound, mate.
What are you eating?
Everything I could possibly.
There we are.
Yeah. Ate a couple of other cyclists on the way around.
There we are.
Mm. Go on then. You've got a question for us, have you?
Yeah. Johnny X wants to know, will there ever be a boy born who can swim faster than a shark?
Piss off.
Oh, can I kill a tiger armed only with my biro? No.
Get your own gags.
Question here for you. Good one for you. Owain Hansen. Why are refs so lenient on Crook's scrum feeds and players in front of kickers from kickoff, but not so on non-straight line throws?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a funny one. I think the best comparison is the line out throw with the scrum, because it's putting a ball in crooked, effectively. I think there have to be areas in which referees generally are more lenient, otherwise the game will never flow. I think that referees are more lenient than we think at the breakdown. When everyone, you know, it's not true, but it's kind of partly true, is that you could find an offence at, if not every breakdown, every other breakdown, and the refs don't blow it. And there's a reason for that. If it's not ruining the game, kind of let it go, and it's not giving someone an unfair advantage, kind of let it go. You could argue the crooked scrum fee gives someone an unfair advantage now, and by the laws of the game, it does. It should be straight. Some people believe ardently that this should be policed. I freely admit I'm not one of those. I think if I'm playing against Shanks and he knocks the ball on and makes a mistake, it's my put into the scrum. Why should he have a 50-50 chance of winning the ball back? It was his mistake. So I think if it's a little bit crooked, I get over it. I know someone like Brian Moore is very anti. In fact, most rugby fans are anti-crooked feeds. I'm just, within reason, I'm just not that bothered
by it. It's also the touch judge that calls the line up rather than the ref, isn't it?
Yes.
If it's crooked.
Often, so. Not always.
Not always, but mostly.
Yeah, and I think...
They're stood right behind the hook.
I think, some feeds that we see are embarrassingly crooked, but... Yeah. I'm not as aggressive about it. And in terms of the offside from the kick and that sort of stuff, I agree. I often watch it and think it's a kick off from the centre spot and he is fully 3 or 4 or 5 yards over and you're like, that is a bit embarrassing that hasn't been pulled up. So I agree on that. I think if it's a metre or so in it, let it go. Who cares? Let the lads crack on with it. But
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Big shout out to... Aldwyn RFC.
Oh yeah, my boys. Yeah, my homies.
Winning the league. Division 3 West Central. That's from Drew Williams.
Oh, well, lads.
Yeah.
Is it lads or girls? Either.
Don't know.
Did you see as a picture on Twitter? I think it was, this is complete memory, Ilkley Rugby Club ladies.
Yes, I did. On a night out. Tweet it.
Yeah, and they were all sticking their feet up in the air as if they're having their studs checked.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that really, really fit.
It was a Veruca check, maybe.
Yeah, really, really fit. They look fantastic. I really like that.
Yeah.
Just in terms of balance, so I don't get into trouble, some male rugby players are really, really fit too. Okay.
Alex Max on Twitter says, should Challenge Cup winners get automatic qualification to the Champions Cup the following year?
I reckon.
Because at the moment, right, to get in the Champions Cup, 7 highest ranked in the Pro 12 go through, and that has to be one from Ireland, one from Italy, one from Scotland, one from Wales. So an Italian team won't automatically qualify for the Champions Cup because they're down the bottom of the Pro 12. So it looks like Treviso will go through and take someone else's position. That's why there's 7.
Yeah.
6 top highest clubs in top 14, 6 highest clubs in Aviva, and then the 20th place is decided by playoffs from the Champions Cup from the 7th.
So Gloucester or Paris are going to lose out and Treviso are going to go in.
Mm.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Bin them off.
It shouldn't matter, I think, in the Pro 12 whether you have a representative from each nation. It should just be the best go through.
Best of the best.
Yeah. You know, what are you going to get out of Treviso being in the Champions
Good
Cup?
Night out.
Not even that, mate.
Not even that. Good post-match feed, actually.
But you're right, mate. It is very, very confusing.
Thanks, mate. Here's a question unrelated to anything else from Philip Morris. Will this podcast run for 12 months of the year, or do you plan to have a break for the summer or any other time? I think we're actually...
I'm going all the way through. I know what?
Oh, sorry. I'm not.
No, you're not, are you?
No, we're going to have a break for the summer.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're doing Lions, actually. I actually don't know.
No.
Do you know the answer to that? Whatever Michelle decides... Michelle, we've mentioned her plenty of times. Whatever Michelle decides, we will do, but I think... We will probably end after the end of the Premiership European season. We may do something with the Lions. We're not sure. Don't know is the answer.
There's been we had a question through on email. I can't remember who it's from now, but so I've taken a screenshot and kind of see it. It's something to do with the personal life. Can you get it up on your emails? Wikipedia, Mark Dylan Smith.
I've seen that, yeah. And it.
Who's it from, mate?
It's from Will Owen. I read his question out earlier, but it was the first paragraph was so long I was going to save it to the end.
Yeah, we're at the end now. Go.
This is Mark Durden-Smith's Wikipedia page, and Will Owen has accused me of tampering with it. I haven't actually. Mark is the son of Judith Chalmers and sports commentator Neil Durden-Smith. He married Rachel Morse on...
Daughter of Inspector.
Daughter of Mr. Code. The couple have 3 children. Mark is one of the UK's leading experts on service stations and is frequently seen eating a KFC bargain bucket with David Flatman at a service station on the M5.
Because you can edit Wikipedia pages, right?
Yeah.
I've had mine done a few times. So my lookalikes have been Livchenko, the Russian spy that was poisoned.
Yeah, oh yeah. Just before death.
Morph and Gail Porter. just to start with, right? I've had loads.
That's so inappropriate.
I didn't put them up. I've been a spice merchant. And I imported all these different spices, but my favourite spice being cumin, whatever. I've made a coat of arms for Ridley Scott's Robin Hood.
Yeah.
As an ironmonger.
That's great. Good imagination out there, guys.
Yeah. I've had... The minion Kevin was based on a scene of myself doing something inappropriate with Gareth Thomas.
Yeah.
So I'm an easy target, basically. But I did go and do a chat in Tenby Junior School, and it was all these little kids who were like 4 or 5. It's for the NSPCC, okay? They were older than 4 or 5, almost, and they were sort of 8 or 9. And
fine, whatever. Semantics.
They'd never ever heard of me. So the teachers said, you know, just go on Wikipedia when you get home. Ask your parents to search for him. Go on Wikipedia, have a look at me. And I was like, panic then.
Yeah.
So I had to get one of the teachers to doctor it all and tidy it all up.
Oh.
Because I didn't want kids to know anything rude.
No.
Yeah.
See, these people, this is their jokes, we're bounding, isn't it?
Mm. Joke's on them now.
Bloody is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so we like all these questions, but Tom, how can people contact us with questions in the future or now?
Well, it's pretty easy, mate, to be honest. You've got to...
Go on, then.
You want to get on Facebook or something like that. We actually had one... We better read one out quickly from Duke Jury on Facebook. He says, yes, I'm a Scot, and my question is Lions-related. It's a fairly long...
I can see your question. Phone from across the table, and it looks about 800 words long. Can you just crack on to the actual question?
he thinks there's a significant case for Hamish Watson being included. Exciting rising star, backed up by some big performances. Doesn't quite have the size or positional flexibility as others. Chosen by Gats. And the question is positional flexibility really that key for back row in such a big squad?
Yeah. Probably not that key, but what I would say is that Hamish Watson, I love Hamish Watson. I love watching him play. He's a fierce player. But you can't pick him over Warburton, because Warburton is the captain and is the boss man around the contact area. And in broken field situations, I don't think as a backup option he's not as good as Tipperick. And in the tight, he's as good as both of them. I think he's a fantastic player, and he was great against Wales in the Six Nations.
Over the ball, he's fantastic. He doesn't quite have the carrying game of someone like CJ Stander either. No. Doesn't have the line out capabilities.
I would love to see him on the Lions tour, and he may well end up there with the odd injury. But I think they've picked the correct flank, correct open side.
There we go. Yeah. So we do read questions out on Facebook, and that's Flats and Shanks. Yeah. On Facebook, go on our Twitter, which is at Flats and Shanks. Or email us, which is contact@flatsandshanks.com. We get a lot of questions through. We do try and read as many as we can, as you know.
Yeah. But, you know, time's against us, isn't it? We're busy people. I've got to go to street dance now.
You do, don't you?
Yeah, it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm off to hot yoga.
Right. Oh, yeah, standard. Hey, see you next week. We won't see you. Talk to you next week, then. Ta-da.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.